First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Nathan Show, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Karen Cataline, commentator, columnist, all-around rabble-rouser, I used to like to say. It is an honor and a pleasure to be here with you after an astonishing, horrible, terrible, no good week last week, watching pundits trying to muster language, muster their professionalism while their dear friend Charlie Kirk was assassinated last week for speaking his mind. We will be talking about this and other things. We have a guest right out of the box to talk about it with. We will, just as a heads up, be sharing with you some clips that we've seen during the week, and we'll be opening each segment with them. I want to get right to our guest, but first, a very momentous motto of Alan Nathan's: we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. And that means that people need to be civil in order to do all that. I'm pleased to welcome Republican senatorial candidate in Florida. He's an entrepreneur, a pilot, an attorney, a former state prosecutor, and a member of the National Guard, and a conservative activist. His latest book is Dirt Roads to Runways, Defending the American Dream for the Next Generation. Keith Gross joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show.
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you too. And we do this work in honor and memory of a great man who symbolized going into places that disagreed and hated him most, and exhibiting and modeling civility and good sense and persuasive skills. That's why we love the First Amendment so very much, and we're blessed to have it in this country, but it is under attack. So how do we preserve this First Amendment, Keith Gross, if disagreement is being met with violence instead of debate?
Well, I think we punish the violence, right? I mean, if we hold the First Amendment as sacred as we say we do in this country, then it's important that we punish those who would perpetrate violence purely over what someone says. That's really the thing that Charlie Kirk was, that was his entire life, was having conversations with people who disagreed with him. And if we can't do that as Americans, then our First Amendment doesn't have any real meaning. Rights are only as good as, you know, our ability to exercise them. So How do we get back to common ground where we can disagree about policies but still have the foundational principles of the Constitution as common ground, no matter what your beliefs are? I think part of how we get back there is by not demonizing and unhumanizing our fellow citizens. You know, think about what happens when these leftists call people Hitler or Marxist or they call them fascists, or they use any sort of label that makes it easier to.
Well, I've never heard them call a Republican a Marxist, but I've heard a lot of Republicans call them Marxists, and indeed many of them are. So how do you determine and decipher the difference? Because being, yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I don't think that conservatives are the ones that we ever worry about when something this horrific happens. But we always worry when Democrats use violence, and usually it's one of their own, to riot in the streets and set fires and murder people. Sorry, but I don't see the same thing happening on the right. And last week was testimony to that very thing.
It absolutely was. Folks didn't have to board up their storefronts after Charlie Kirk's assassination like we do when some criminal is killed by police on the left. So certainly there is a difference between the way the left and the right responds. And, you know, the most disturbing thing is the way the left uses labels that just don't make any sense. They call someone who wants to enforce immigration policies as written by Congress a fascist. Trump's not being a fascist by upholding the Constitution and enforcing the laws. So, you know, I don't want to live in a post-truth society. And more often than not lately, it seems like that's where we are.
I also see a major connection. There's so much here and there's so much we're all going through and watching happen. We used to talk about how we love free speech, but you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Well,
but you can.
I agree. And what I think is that the political rhetoric, particularly on the left, and we will be playing clips before many of our segments in the next couple of hours to prove it, is not only yelling fire in a crowded theater, but using stooges to do their dirty work when they want this kind of outcome, and they incite the most gullible, the most vulnerable, and the most mentally unhinged to do that dirty work. Because if that person gets killed, they don't seem to care, but they think they have plausible deniability. I'm not talking about every Democrat. I'm talking about a heck of a lot of politicians and others who see no problem with inciting violence. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's disturbing. You know, the First Amendment is not there to protect polite, well-received speech. It's there to protect controversial, unpleasant speech that you might not like hearing. If we can't protect all speech, then we don't really have free speech. And that's where, you know, this idea that you can't yell fire in a crowded theater is some limiting principle on the First Amendment. You know, that case was overruled a long time ago, but people still cite it as though it's
right. But that's not my point. What Democrats have been doing has been yelling fire in a crowded theater and getting people hurt. What they have trouble with, here's what I think they have trouble with, Keith, and I want your thoughts on this. We have watched as criminals have been turned into victims and victims have been turned into criminals, the perversion of good and evil and justice in this country. And with that includes words that to them, and they're telling people, mean violence. And violence, which is nothing more than free expression. You see how they've twisted meaning so that words are now fighting words, which is nonsense. But violence, they explain away as merely free speech. When you are inciting violence with your words, that is not protected by the First Amendment. We love the First Amendment. It's not even close, the similarity of those two. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've seen this from the left for a while where they started labeling, like if you don't want to use someone's pronouns the way they like it, they call that a microaggression, as though your words are some form of miniature
violence. Right, that's
violence.
A crime to them. And they have incited that hatred because if you refuse to use a pronoun and you disapprove of someone who thinks that they are a girl when they're a boy or whatever it is, you're not allowed to disapprove. That's their right to force you to approve. And that is a perversion of our Constitution. There is no such law. And that is not the meaning or the intent of the freedom that we love and enjoy so much.
No, it's not. And I think it comes down to our education system where these kids, they're not thinking critically. And that's one of the beautiful things that Charlie Kirk did a great job of. He challenged their ideology and their beliefs and asked them to sort of back up their thought process. And it was interesting to see how often they couldn't and how often you could see the wheels turning in their minds. And maybe they were developing some new thought processes there to think critically. So
he was so
effective.
He was so effective with through persuasion. He had a command of the facts. And this is why he was a threat, among other things. If he was ineffective, they wouldn't care. And that's one of the heartbreaking things. He was incredibly effective and did it with absolutely no violence, but with persuasive words.
Absolutely.
Keith Gross. Do you have time to stay? You're an attorney, and I want to talk a little bit about that, if you would. Do you have time to stay for one more segment?
Sure, let's do it.
Let's do it. Keith Gross is going to stay with us for one more segment. It's a very unusual kind of Alan Nathan show right now. We're doing the best we can. We're muddling through, and we know you, Alan's audience, is too. Stay with us. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
This summer's heat waves brought higher UV indexes across the country, and that's cause for concern. Dr. Raza Bukhari, CEO of Medicus Pharma, explains.
90% of non-melanoma skin cancers are related to exposure to ultraviolet radiation from the sun.
Even with regular use of sunscreen, high UV rays can cause significant damage. That's why getting a professional skin check could save your life. And new treatments on the horizon are poised to revolutionize the way skin cancer is treated.
We are currently in phase 2 trials of a non-invasive skin cancer treatment called SkinJet. This small microneedle transdermal patch provides a relatively painless, cost-effective treatment for basal cell skin cancer. So far, in our interim analysis, more than 60% of patients achieved complete clinical clearance.
For more, visit medicuspharma.com.
There was a Rutgers study that just came out a little over a month ago, Jesse, that asked respondents their view on these calls to assassinate President Trump. And over 55% of respondents felt that murdering President Trump would be, quote unquote, somewhat justified. This study also pointed out that there is a, quote unquote, assassination culture that is starting to take over the views of what they call the extreme left.
Chilling, isn't it? That is Tulsi Gabbard on Jesse Waters, and any attempt of pundits to say that both sides do it are not helping the clarity of the argument. It is not violent to point out people who are. Again, twisting the facts and the truth. We have the pleasure of asking back for one more segment, Keith Gross, Republican senatorial candidate in Florida, entrepreneur, pilot, attorney, former state prosecutor, member of the National Guard. His latest book, Dirt Roads to Runways, Defending the American Dream for the Next Generation. Thank you, Keith, for staying with us on this tough week after.
Happy to be with you.
So as an attorney, thank you. So as an attorney and a former state prosecutor, that caught my eye right away. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to shift this conversation because both conversations are going on simultaneously about this killer, this 22-year-old killer. And I'm going to give you just a lot of broad berth to talk about your impressions as an attorney and a state prosecutor about the, not only the trajectory of this investigation, whatever you know. There's an amazing amount of candor and openness that the FBI usually doesn't share. But from both Dan Bongino and Kash Patel, we've gotten that because they've said that they recognize that it is an issue of massive and now international importance. What are your thoughts and impressions about what we are watching thus far as you sit here?
The assassination of Charlie Kirk was domestic terrorism. I mean, the government's own definition of terrorism is the use of violence to push forward a political objective. And silencing people who have conservative views or who even think critically was certainly the objective of this shooter. And when we look at those motivations through the lens of terrorism, it is a matter of national and international importance. We should always have law enforcement providing information in a transparent fashion to American citizens who pay for that law enforcement operation. And I'm happy to see that the FBI is doing so under the Trump administration.
Yes. And as I was driving to an appointment yesterday, I listened to very, very effective, also attorney, conservative pundit Megyn Kelly talk with Dan Bongino about what he could say about where we're at in the investigation. And, you know, we all speculate, but there's also facts that are backing this up. I'm not a expert on these facts, but many of us wondered if there was a trans component to this because we are seeing a much higher degree of violence from people who, excuse me, are suffering from varieties of gender dysphoria. Now we're finding that there is strong evidence that there was a death conspiracy among such people, people that call themselves furries, which we know nothing about except that we just think it's cute, I guess, and aberrant, but not deadly. The conspiracy component, what I'd like to ask you with your legal training is we are taping this on a day in which the killer is being formally charged with state charges. Most of us don't understand what's required for federal charges, but wouldn't RICO and other things apply to people who were online, had previous knowledge of this horrible crime, and were accessories? Doesn't that make it a federal crime in which to charge these people and the identified suspect?
You know, those facts could lead to that result. The real question when analyzing something from a criminal conspiracy analysis is whether or not the people knowingly entered into a criminal conspiracy and then whether or not they or others took acts in furtherance of the stated conspiracy. So, you know, merely having knowledge that someone's going to do a bad thing doesn't necessarily make you part of the conspiracy if you haven't intentionally engaged in some sort of planning or furtherance. But the issue of can this man be charged federally is a lot easier to answer. There are several federal crimes which can be applied in this situation due to his operation in the use of a firearm and several other things. So if they're looking for a way to charge this federally,
Slow down, because first off, these are legal questions that I could spend 2 hours asking an attorney about, various attorneys, whether or not having previous knowledge and doing nothing is any kind of a crime when you know somebody is targeted to be murdered. But secondly, is it a federal crime, any of the gun charges that we're seeing now, and why would that be? Just point of curiosity. And I realize this is probably not your area of expertise as a lawyer. So just because someone's a lawyer doesn't mean that they're a specialist in this. But you're a lawyer. I'm not. So I have to ask some clarification here.
So just a quick reference is there's a federal law prohibiting the use of a firearm in furtherance of a crime of violence. It's 18 really? USC 924C, wow. And that's a mandatory minimum of 10 years to life. So that alone would give them, the federal prosecutors, actionable charges. It's also a federal crime to engage in first-degree murder. So, you know, whether or not they want to bring that charge is certainly a question for the U.S. attorney for Utah. But if they want to prosecute federally, they can. And here's the interesting thing that didn't click until I went to law school. The federal government and the state government can prosecute the same actions as separate sovereigns. So he could be tried and convicted in state court and then tried and convicted again in federal court and serve those sentences separately.
How about that? We're almost out of time. Boy, it goes so quickly. Tell us who you're running against or about your senatorial campaign. You're running for Senate in Florida against whom,
no,
may I ask? You're not.
I ran for Senate in the 2024 primary, and I am not running for anything right now. I am living life and running a law firm and having a good time.
That's great. What is your specialty in your law practice?
So I've got associates that practice everything from criminal defense to business litigation and franchise law, intellectual property. We handle several
terrific
different things at Gross Law Group.
Wonderful. And the name of your book, tell us how we can get it. Dirt Roads to Runways.
Yeah, you can find Dirt Roads to Runways at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and you can follow me on KeithGross.com.
Keith, thank you so much for joining us, for staying that extra segment. We appreciate it. Godspeed, and keep on keeping on.
We will be. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. We will be back on the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network right after this.
Tilly Ramsey, daughter of celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay, is ready
to
step out of her father's shadow into her own culinary adventures with the new series Dish It Out, premiering Friday, September 5th on Prime Video. A passionate foodie and aspiring chef, Tilly celebrates online trends and family recipes, alongside some surprise visitors in the kitchen, including her parents Gordon and Tana Ramsay, Gillian Jacobs, Frankie Grande, and many more. In each episode, Tilly receives a mystery box from chefs, influencers, and home cooks from around the world, and uses the ingredients to cook a dish for a studio guest. Tilly Ramsay.
I've sat next to my father in the kitchen for my entire life and wanted to become a chef for as long as I can remember. Now that I've graduated culinary school, I'm ready to sharpen my skills and create exciting new dishes for my guests, and will be sure to have plenty of fun along the way.
Don't miss Dish It Out starting this Friday, September 5th, only on Prime Video.
Circle K is expanding its membership rewards program, Inner Circle, throughout the Lone Star State beginning on Wednesday, September 3rd. Free to join, customers can now become members to get fuel discounts, drink deals, and more. To celebrate, Circle K is hosting a Fuel Day pop-up on Thursday, September 4th. Customers can get 40 cents off per gallon of fuel from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. local time. Inner Circle members will have early access starting at 7 a.m. Members can enter their phone number at the pump or inside a checkout to access the savings. First-time members can save 25 cents per gallon of fuel on their first five fill-ups and have access to discounted drinks. Members also get personalized offers and exclusive deals throughout the year. Sign up at CircleK.com/inner-circle or enter your mobile number at checkout to enroll via text. Learn more about the Fuel Day on Thursday, September 4th at CircleK.com/TX-Fuel-Day.
If literally two assassination attempts against Donald Trump last year did not get the Democrats to tone down their rhetoric, I truly don't know what will. And you really hit on something very important. They are using this to fundraise, which is a whole other level of sick. I want to get your thoughts on this. The article goes on to say that these voters that are calling for all this violence and blood, they tend to be white, well-educated, and live in upscale neighborhoods.
I think the broader picture of the electoral map and what the results have shown over the last couple of years, that's the bigger story here. President Trump and House Republicans over the last three elections have successively become more competitive and more basically winning more elections along the southern border and winning more successfully with Hispanic voters. That, to me, shows that where Republicans are in terms of border security and actually concern for American citizens, Hispanic voters are there. And the fact that if white urban liberals are not concerned about the well-being of American citizens or the well-being of ICE agents, that should be a big concern for voters across America.
This is Karen Cataline. We are playing certain audio clips from this past week or that are relevant. I don't have the immediate credit on that one. I apologize, but that is simply somebody pointing out on our side that it's a lie to say that Republicans are responsible for this madness. But furthermore, a lot of Republican pundits can't really handle it and have this very conciliatory language because they're afraid that to say who's guilty is somehow hate speech. Well, that's leftist talk. And here to talk about it is none other than one of my favorite guests, John Zemirak, senior editor at The Stream. He was press secretary for Louisiana Governor Mike Foster, as well as a reporter and editor at Success Magazine, Investors Business Daily, co-author of 14 books, including No Second Amendment, No First, and still writes for stream.org. Hi, John Zemirak. I wish I were talking to you in happier occasion, but it's good to talk to you at all.
Hi, Karen. Well, you know, I think the left made a real mistake murdering Charlie Kirk the way the English made a mistake in burning Joan of Arc.
Ah.
They created a martyr. Charlie Kirk was not about violence. He was not about hate. He was not about intimidation. He was not about persecuting anyone. He was the absolute incarnation of a good American. He was like the Jimmy Stewart character in every Frank Capra movie.
Yeah,
and the fact that they would kill George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, they would shove him off the bridge, just tells you what dark forces we're dealing with. What we have is an alternative fake religion, a pagan post-Christian religion that is designed to replace biblical Christianity and Judaism. It's designed to replace the religion of the Bible with something new, with an idol. And one of the things they do, they parasitically draw on certain elements of biblical religion, the ones that they like, and they use them and they twist them. They say, oh, we have to be welcoming. We have to embrace the marginalized. But what they mean by marginalized is not Christians driven out of Syria, Israelis being attacked by Hamas, babies in the womb, handicapped people threatened with euthanasia. They don't care about any of that. They only care about sex perverts and foreigners.
And criminals. Don't forget criminals.
And terrorists. Those are the alienated, the marginalized that we have to embrace. The people who just happen to want to blow up our government buildings and burn down our cities and sell fentanyl and riot in the streets, those people deserve all the compassion that you find in Jesus's parables. But the really helpless, the Christians who are persecuted in the Middle East and in Africa or persecuted by the Chinese Communist government, veterans in Canada who are being told that euthanasia is their best option because the government doesn't want to support them anymore. Christian pastors in places like Britain there's a woman, Isabel Von Spruce. She has been arrested three times and threatened with prison for standing near an abortion clinic and silently praying. They came up and they said, are you praying? If she'd said no, they would have left her alone because she wasn't bothering anyone.
But
when
she told the truth.
She told the truth, and she was arrested for it. It just came out in Australia, in New South Wales. If someone who's struggling, who has gay attractions and wants to get rid of them, would rather not have these feelings, let's say he's married, doesn't want to cheat on his wife, if you pray for him, If he asked you to pray for him, if you pray for him, you can go to jail for up to 5 years. I've got a
That's
new
stunning.
Piece.
That's stunning.
It's stunning. Yeah, I have a new piece going
on. So talk about, just slow down because we'll give you a chance.
Yeah.
Talk about thought crimes.
Yes,
I mean, this
absolutely.
Frankly sounds like the Spanish Inquisition. They're going
it's worse. Yeah,
it's hard to be worse than the Spanish Inquisition to burn people if they don't convert,
right.
or punish people for what they think or believe in their heart.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
This is in a country that claims to have freedom of speech. But they say, oh, but free speech must have its limits. And, of course, what got Charlie Kirk murdered is the idea that free speech doesn't include the right to offend people. If you can't because the left has created this narrative that if you say things that make them feel bad, that send them cold pricklies instead of warm fuzzies, that is an act of violence. For the left, conservative religious speech is violence, and leftist violence is just speech.
That's just what I said. With the last guest, I said precisely that. That's, of course, why I love having you. Words mean violence, and violence is nothing more than free expression for them, especially. That's exactly true. A perversion of the truth.
This is the moral code that Karl Marx preached. Karl Marx said, in order to achieve social revolution, we must throw out all the sentimental morality that came from the Bible. We must throw it aside. We must be absolutely ruthless in the pursuit of the dictatorship of the proletariat, where religious belief will be impossible. It will simply not be tolerated because we are creating a heaven on earth by human means. What people don't realize is that Marx, while he came from a Jewish background, he was actually a kind of Christian heretic. There was a strain of Christian heresy all through the Middle Ages. It started with this friar, Joachim of Fiore. They wanted to make the second coming happen by force. They were going to do it. They were tired of waiting for Jesus to come back. They were going to create the kingdom of heaven on earth by violent force. They were going to attack the priests, they were going to attack the merchants, and of course they always targeted the Jews. They would go after all three groups. Well, guess what? That's exactly what the communists have done in every country where they took power.
See, this is why you're such a gem and a gift, because you bring in the truly communist roots of so much of this evil
a great book called by Norman Cohn, The Pursuit of the Millennium. That's where I got this information, that communism is an apocalyptic heresy of Christianity. And it's ironic that so many Jewish people offended by anti-Semitism ended up as communists, and big surprise, the governments persecuted them anyway.
Yes, well, that's yet another
terrible, bitter
problem
irony
that we have, and that's for another time. And yes, it is of great concern. And I will say that among the things in which I have been inspired after this atrocity last week and watching every day the reaction of good and decent people and their vigils all across the world, which is just astonishing. It makes me that much more committed to assist where I can Jews and Christians to stand together. They have to teach each other with regard to religious pluralism and what Charlie taught, which is to treat everyone as an individual through nonviolence. And I just feel like I stand in between those two. And Christians and Jews must stand together for the good of the communism, fighting back against the communism that we see coming, both in New York City and elsewhere. We have so much more to talk about There's never enough time. And of course, John Zemirak has agreed to stay with us one more very short segment. What a pleasure. We'll give him lots more time to educate us about history, about its connection to what's happening today. And we will be back on the Ellen Nathan Show right after this. Don't go away.
We have an active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public, we want policymakers, we want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pva.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist, because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriers still exist.
Protein plays a key role in maintaining overall health and is an essential nutrient for post-workout recovery and muscle repair. Registered dietitian Roxana Essani has more.
High-protein diets aren't just for athletes. Protein supports your immune system and helps you feel fuller for longer. Plant-based options offer a range of nutrients to support a healthy diet.
PB2 Performance is a plant-based protein made from real peanuts or almonds with no added sugar or artificial ingredients. Each serving delivers 20 grams of protein and can be blended, baked, or mixed into a variety of recipes.
One of my favorites is the PB2 Performance Peanut Protein with Dutch cocoa. I blend it with dairy milk for even more protein, frozen banana and ice for a rich chocolate peanut butter flavor.
PB2 Performance is available in cocoa and peanut, and vanilla almond. To learn more and find recipes, visit pb2foods.com. That's pb2foods.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
And devastating as this is, I can't say it's really surprising.
Charlie Kirk has said a number of controversial things over the years, in particular about DEI, Jews, women, LGBTQ community, people of color.
He is a polarizing figure. He is a lightning rod. He makes some people feel very angry.
Not everyone took to his words or his rhetoric. You know, at times, they were offensive to specific communities.
There are a lot of people who are out there talking about him just wanting to have a civil debate.
Complete rewriting of history.
We also need to be honest about, as a nation, about where this violence is coming from.
There's a lot of rhetoric that is problematic. A lot of it is coming from one particular side.
The right needs to pay better attention to the utter destruction that happens to our community.
At least for now, people on the left are not typically armed.
Why haven't we seen more violence from the left yet?
Is this a moment for your party to reflect on political violence?
I almost hate even hearing that. We're talking with John Zemirak. We'll get his thoughts, but we don't want to spend too much time on that because John has so many important things to share with us. He's senior editor at The Stream, and he's just a very smart and knowledgeable guy. John Zemirak, thanks for staying with us. We're playing these because we have them, but they just great. And we're not going to go out and hurt anybody because we're upset, but the left seems to make it a crime to say things that make people uncomfortable. Any thoughts about that before we continue our discussion?
Well, they're using violence because they're getting away with it. This is human nature. Human nature is fallen, is wicked, is sinful, tends towards destruction. Okay, that's why we have to be vigilant. That's why the government has to be impartial. The government has to be fair. It has to be based on principles of the natural law that God wrote on the human heart, that he revealed to everyone, not just those of us who follow biblical religion. There are fundamental principles of natural law that are the founding principles of the United States of America. People who can bully and tyrannize their neighbor will do it if they're given the opportunity. That's why we have a government of laws. That's why we have police. That's why we have the Second Amendment protecting our individual right to defend ourselves and our families from violent crime and from a tyrannical government. I wrote a whole book about this, No Second Amendment, No First, about the profound connection between gun rights for individual honest citizens and every kind of freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, specifically freedom of religion. And I document how tyrannical governments throughout history try to disarm unpopular minorities so that they can be persecuted. The British government, I guess it was the English government of Charles II and James II, tried to disarm Protestants, Puritans, low church Protestants, went to their churches and took away the guns from the congregation. That sparked the overthrow of the government. And the English Bill of Rights, written in 1670, declared that no Protestant could be deprived of weapons. That showed that there was a direct connection between having the means to defend your church and your religious minority and religious freedom. And that was the origin of the Second Amendment. The American founders took that phrase, that clause from the English Bill of Rights, and recrafted it to be our Second Amendment because they saw a direct connection between the freedom of individual citizens to have the means of self-defense and resisting a tyrannical government. James Madison in the Federalist Papers wrote that if every other backstop against government tyranny fell away, if the separation of powers, federalism, the power of the person, if it all collapsed, the Second Amendment guaranteed a militia of 500,000 who would overthrow any tyrant. And that's why I think it's so important that we on the right have the means of self-defense and defend the Second Amendment against any legal attacks. Because we see the left is obsessed with violence.
They're obsessed with taking away the guns law-abiding citizens. They never seem to want to focus on the ones that are committing crimes, only on law-abiding citizens, so they cannot defend themselves from the criminals that they defend.
Right. When a transgender terrorist, and increasingly the trans movement is being turned into a political army, disaffected, alienated mental patients hopped up on opposite sex hormones, what could possibly go wrong? I mean, we see what happens to women when they're pregnant and they have hormone spikes. Take a young, aggressive man with mental problems and dose him up with lots of female hormones and tell him that churches are trying to exterminate him, that anyone who criticizes his ideology wants to kill him. You are creating an army of people to shoot up schools.
And if I might say, it is deliberate in doing so. And the people who are doing it have plausible deniability to say, well, that wasn't me who did that.
Right.
That's the problem. They're being used as stooges. They're not innocent. Right. They're guilty, but they're being used as stooges in a much bigger operation that they have no clue what's going on.
Right. And the operation is to have violence and chaos so that people give up their guns, to create anarchy so that people will beg for tyranny. That's what revolutionaries do. In the French Revolution, the radicals open the prisons to create chaos in the streets so that they could impose order.
They did it in COVID. Did they not imprison law-abiding citizens in their homes and open the prisons of criminals? That's exactly what they did. I don't love it, but I love that you're making these connections and connecting the dots. Please continue.
Google anarcho-tyranny. The phrase anarcho-tyranny means anarchy for me, tyranny for thee. And it's literally how the Nazis took power. They created political militias like Antifa, like Black Lives Matter, that would beat up their political opponents in the streets. The police would arrest everyone. But because the police sympathized with the Nazis more than with the communists or the Catholics, they would let the Nazis off with a slap on the wrist, and they would send the Catholics and the socialists to prison, which is exactly what happened with the George Floyd rioters not going to prison, but the January 6th peaceful demonstrators being persecuted, their lives destroyed for crimes like trespassing. Yeah.
So much more we could talk about. There are people who will say that this segment is somehow inciting violence because we are talking about the realities of what's actually happening. Calling violence out is not violent. Thank you, John Zemarek. I can't wait to talk to you again. Godspeed. And please visit him at stream.org. We're going to take a break. We'll be back at the top of the hour after a break with more of the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.